thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
We're in our series on the miracles of Christ, and this morning we come to another miracle through the Gospel of John, and the message is called The Grave Robber. There's one gravestone that comes to mind, if they had gravestone back then, of Lazarus. They had to change the date twice. He died, was in the grave for 4 days. Jesus brought him back to life, but he died again. And this morning we're going to learn what that means, that Jesus is the great grave robber. How does that apply to our lives? What does this miracle mean for us? We're going to learn that. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now for time's sake, we're going to jump ahead to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Verse 43, now when he has said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. You see, death is inescapable. Death is inevitable. Now, I know Sunday morning you're like, "We're going to go to church. It's going to be an awesome day, positive, encouraging." And I begin the service talking about death. But it's a reality. It is true. One day, there's going to be a funeral service, and you'll be laid out in a casket. The question is, where will you go when you die? Now, I know some people say things like, "Well, I don't believe in an afterlife. I believe this is all there is to it." It doesn't really matter what you believe. I can stand on top of the Empire State Building and say, "I don't believe in gravity," and step off. I am going to hit the ground. So also with death, you can deny it, but it is coming. Where will you go? You see, Jesus Christ not only paid the pardon of our sins, but he also has given us eternal life. So that one day we may die physically, but we will be alive spiritually. Until the resurrection, we will be physically and spiritually alive with glorified bodies. There is a life beyond. Where will you go? And this morning as we walk through this message, I hope you will hear the voice of the Savior calling you. The miracle we're looking at this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And you know by now, when John talked about miracles, he called them signs. He called them signs. And there's a difference, because signs were more than just extraordinary things that Jesus did to help people in need. Signs were proofs. Proofs of who Jesus was. That he was the one that the Old Testament promised, and he came and he did one by one, everything that Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to do. This miracle is also a sign. The mistake people make is they come to the miracle of Lazarus and they start talking about, oh, look at what Jesus did and how he raised a dead man to life. After 4 days, he raised him to life. Wow, Jesus has power over death. Nothing new about that. He's done that before. He raised Jairus' daughter to life. He raised the widow's son at Nain to life. I mean, what is the big deal about this one? Oh, it's 4 days now. 4 days is different. Four minutes, 4 days, 4 years. What's the difference? Dead is dead. Right? You see, the difference is this. This miracle was a sign. There is something deeper. There is a message behind it that we need to understand. In fact, at the end of the miracle, listen to what John the Apostle writes. In chapter 11, verse 47, it's on the screen. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs." Raising of Lazarus from the grave after 4 days was a sign. The question is, what is it? What was the sign behind this miracle? To get the answer, go back 4 verses to John 11, verse 43. "Now when he," meaning Jesus, "had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" The Greek words behind "come forth" are duro exo. The word duro means come. The word exo is really out. What Jesus did at the grave of Lazarus is, "Lazarus, come out." In fact, grammarians tell us that when you bring the words duro and exo together, you don't even have to say "come." All you have to say is "out" with an exclamation point. Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and simply said, "Lazarus, out." He didn't have to identify himself. This is Jesus here. And a man who had already been on the other side for 4 days, means he is gone, he is way gone, said, "Huh? What? The shepherd is calling me." And he came out. Let me give you an illustration. Imagine if I were to stand in my driveway and shout at the top of my lungs, "Come out!" What do you think Nicole and the kids would do? They know my voice. They know what I sound like. She's going to say, "Go see what Daddy needs. He's out there hollering." And they'll come outside and say, "Dad, what do you need? What's wrong? Is everything okay?" They know my voice. It didn't startle them. They recognized it and they came. Now what if I were to come and stand in your driveway, you know my voice. You know what I sound like. And if I were to stand outside and say, "Come out," what would you say? "Was that Pastor Shaw? Was that Abaddon? What in the world is he?" You'll run outside and say, "Are you okay? Did you run out of gas? What happened?" You know my voice. It startled you, but you did come out. You knew who I was. Now imagine if I were to stand in the driveway of someone who doesn't know me and shout at the top of my lungs, "Come out!" What do you think would happen? Depends on where you live. They'll begin by dialing 911. There's some crazy guy outside our house telling us to come out. And then you're going to open the door just barely and look out and say, "Excuse me, what do you need, sir?" And again, depends on where you live. Some might come out with a shotgun and say, "I gave you 3 seconds to get off my property." Right? You know what? What's the difference between the first two and the last one? The first two know me. They know my voice. One may have been startled, but they came out. They responded. The last one doesn't know me. The last one cannot respond. Only with anger and shock. Now keep this in mind, because if you don't get this point, Lazarus' miracle will not make sense. It's a sign. To understand the sign, we have to back up to John chapter 10. This miracle is in John 11. To understand the sign, you have to begin in John chapter 10. Get the context in which Jesus did this miracle. Listen to John chapter 10, verse 2. "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus is saying these words. "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep do what? Hear his voice. And what does he do? He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. You know why Jesus is saying these words to the people? Because many of them are refusing to respond to him. He is doing miracles. He is doing signs. He's teaching. He's healing. He's touching lives. And they're saying, you got a demon in you. You're crazy. Jesus said, let me explain to you something. My sheep hear my voice. Listen to what he says in verse 4. Help me again. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you get what is being said here? It's the voice of the shepherd calling his sheep and the sheep following him, and he is leading them out. They're not responding to strangers, only to the shepherd. We're not through. Listen to verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, not only am I the shepherd, I am also the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, what does it say? Did not hear them. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my sheep, by my own. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. You see, you got to get this down before you go and talk about Lazarus and Mary and Martha and what happened and grave and stone and the. We're not ready for that. We have to get the concept down that Jesus is telling them, you cannot hear me because you're not my sheep. Because my sheep follow me, and I lead them out, and they don't listen to strangers. You are a stranger. You've been led by thieves and robbers who have destroyed you, but I am the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. Listen to verse 27. It's not done. He says again, my sheep, what does it say? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen, it's not on the screen. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He says, I am such a shepherd that when they are my sheep, nothing can take them away from me. Not even death. I'll bring them back. Listen to verse 37. Now before we read that verse, it's on the screen. You know what the people did when Jesus said this to them? The unbelievers, those who were not part of the sheep, they picked up stones to stone him. They said, this man is crazy. He's talking about sheep and following and thieves and robbers. And who are we? Are we thieves and robbers? Are we not good enough to be your sheep? So listen to what Jesus says to them in verse 37. He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But then, verse 38, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. This is what it means. You may not believe in Jesus Christ being the only way, truth, and life. Fine. Here's the question. Do you believe what he did is real? 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and died on the cross. He gave his life as the scripture promised. Did what Jesus did resemble what God does? Because you see, what God always does and always has been doing is giving life to those who are dead. Jesus gave life to those who were dead. See, if you have a problem with that, then all I confessed and I received and I got baptized and I joined a church, or we don't baptize, we do other things. It doesn't really matter, none of that. The question is, do the works of Jesus resemble the works of God? Then the next question is this. Then you believe those works, and in the process you will know and believe that the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. You're saved now. Now keep that in mind as we go to the miracle of Lazarus. What happened? Now let's go to John chapter 11 for the next couple of minutes. Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, but he doesn't go immediately. He delays for 2 days. Why does he do that? John chapter 11 verse 4 says, Jesus said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, here's something very important. What Jesus is saying is this: Lazarus is my sheep. He is not going anywhere. Guess what I'm going to do? I am going to use this sheep of mine as an object lesson to show you the glory of God. He is fine. Some of you are so frustrated and stressed out over your situation. Could it be that God is using you, his sheep, as an object lesson? You're going through pain? You're going through financial problems? You're going through relationship struggles? Could it be that God is using his sheep, you, as an object lesson to show his glory? What many of us do is like, I don't like that. I want to be out of this thing. I want to do something different, something new. And God says, next, I'm going to use you. 2 days turn into 4 days. Now Lazarus is dead. Has been dead for 4 days. Oh no. Guess what? Nothing has changed. Because now God is, through Jesus, is going to do a bigger miracle. Jesus is going to show more glory. Nothing's lost. No problem. And he comes after 4 days. Lazarus has been in the grave. Now, there are two sisters. What are their names? I know y'all go to Sunday school, some of you. Mary and Martha. Who is the first one who comes out? Martha. Martha was the one who would always mess around in the kitchen, but she's the first one out when she sees Jesus. And how does she respond? She has lost all hope. But Jesus challenges her. He asks her this question. He says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And he who believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And listen to how Martha responds. Martha is the good sheep. I know we always think Mary is the good sheep because she sat by the feet of Jesus. But in this situation, Martha is the good sheep. Guess how she responds? She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." Here was a sheep who heard the voice of the shepherd and responded in obedience. You are. I know who you are. Isn't that amazing? Jesus asked her, "I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe that?" And she said, "You are Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." I know my shepherd. Sheep number one, pass the test. Who is sheep number two? The other sister. Who is she? Mary. Now, how does Mary respond? She doesn't rush to meet Jesus. She is still at home. Martha has to come and tell her, "Hey, the master is here." Then she comes, but how does she respond to the shepherd? She comes and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She is a sheep. But how is that sheep responding right now? Not like you're supposed to. She's filled with doubt, and she's rejecting to recognize the Savior. You know, sheep sometimes do that. Some of y'all are saved, but you're living in doubt, and you refuse to trust God for your problems and for your situation, and you do things your own way, and you make a big, big mess. Shepherd says, "I'm leading you here. I'm going to do what I want to do." Now, I want you to hear how Jesus responded to Mary. This is powerful. Please don't miss this. "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping," the Bible says, "he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Awful translation. Some of y'all who've been in Digging Deep, horrible translation. Would you like to know exactly what that means? He groaned deeply and was troubled. It literally means he got angry in his spirit and stirred up in himself. Because sheep number two not only failed to recognize that standing before her is the shepherd who has power over any problem, and instead of submitting to the shepherd and saying, "Jesus, you are God. Whatever you want to do, you can do." She was crying, weeping. And Jesus did not say, "Well, little girl, don't weep." He got angry. He got angry and he was stirred up. Literally what it says in Greek is he began to shake. Have you ever been so angry that you start shaking, you start trembling? None of y'all are? You're a bunch of liars. Right? you get angry and you start shaking. You cannot mouth your words and you start saying things you didn't mean to say. And you're so angry right now. Have you ever been like that with your kids? You tell them to do this and don't do that and don't go there and come home and this and that. And they end up doing something just the opposite. When you come home, it's like, let me just tell you something. If I had done that when I was your age, you know, you start the whole thing. And you end up saying something that make up a story that doesn't even exist. I mean, you're just like so mad. Jesus is mad. You know why he's mad? Because his sheep is not responding to him. She's weeping. Now listen to this. When he got to the tomb, it says Jesus wept. Now what people have done is they said, oh, Jesus, now he was so moved by emotions that he was like, oh, my buddy Lazarus died. And he began to weep. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus was schizophrenic? Like on one moment he is like, man, I can bring you out of the grave. Oh no, I don't know, I can do anything. Do you really think Jesus was like so conflicted? You say, well, now, wasn't he like fully God and fully man? Of course, but he was not going, I don't know which one I can pick right now. The Greek word for Mary weeping and the Jews weeping is kleio. The Greek word for Jesus weeping is dakruo. Their weeping was out of sorrow. His weeping is out of anger. Have you ever been so angry that you began to cry? And people say, I'm so sorry. He's like, I'm not. And the tears start flowing and people think you're sad. You're not sad. You're just mad. You're livid. You're just. Jesus is not weeping the way Mary and the Jews who didn't believe in him are weeping. He is weeping with anger. And again it says in verse 38, Jesus again groaned in himself. Again, it's a horrible translation because it really says Jesus got angry in his spirit. Because a shepherd is calling and his sheep are not responding. Folks, that's how God is with us. When he calls our name, when he calls us to submit and obey, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our personal life and how we raise our children, how we serve in the body of Christ, when we're like, well, I'm going to do my way. I'm upset, right? Listen, you can do whatever you want to. Don't worry about how I feel and how someone's. The question is, how does a shepherd feel about you right now? Because he's pretty angry with you. Oh, Jesus, now never gets angry. You need to read your Bible again. He gets pretty angry. When the sheep refuse to recognize the shepherd and they begin to act like those who are deaf to him, he's angry. And then he comes to the grave and he says, move the stone. Now you know this passage very well. What did Martha say? Now Martha was the good sheep, right? She was the one who said, you are Christ, the Son of the living. What did Martha do at this point? Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. As if Jesus couldn't tell time. You know, he made time. You're like, it's been 4 days. And then she says, it even stinks. It means it's too late. You can't do anything in this situation. I know you're the great shepherd and all, but I don't think you can fix this one. I know a lot of sheep who act this way. Oh, they trust Jesus with heaven and trust Jesus with blessing, but when it comes to daily life situation, I don't think he can fix this one. How did Jesus respond to her? Listen to verse 40. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? When do you talk to your kids like that? Did I not tell you to stay here? Did I not tell you to? He is not being nice and cuddly. He is being angry. Did I not tell you that I will do this? And then Jesus prayed a bizarre prayer, which I will go ahead and recommend. Please don't ever pray like Jesus in this situation. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this. Many years ago, I went over to this house. The mother had called me and said, would you please come and talk to our boy? He doesn't behave. He's doing crazy things. He's right, hanging out with the wrong crowd. Would you come and talk to him? So I went over there, and I talked to him, and you know, it was sad. He was rebelling, whatever he was doing. And then I said, well, let's pray. And the mother said, okay, I'll pray first, preacher, and then you pray. I said, okay. And she began the prayer. It was a spiritual whooping time for the boy. She began by, "Lord, we thank you today, but I pray for this young man. I pray that you would open his eyes because he is being so rebellious and he breaks his mother's heart every day. And he doesn't see that his mother is crying and he's weeping over him." And I kind of opened my eyes, look at the boy, and he's sitting over there chewing gum like, bring it on. What she was doing was she was praying to get on to her son instead of talking to God. But in this situation, Jesus is doing the very same thing, but he is God. What does he do then? The Bible says he cried with a loud voice. And here's the irony of ironies. The living cannot hear his voice, but one who was already in the great beyond for 4 days says, "Huh? Oh, that's my shepherd's calling. I got to come." And he walks right out of the grave. Let me give you some applications here. Power over life and death belongs to Jesus. That's hopefully clear. You say, "Well, I'm going to go to heaven because I believe in God." God says, "I have given everything over to my son." You go to Jesus. You have to come to Jesus to get to God. Number two, his sheep, Jesus' sheep, hear his voice and they follow him. This morning, there are two groups of people. There are some who can hear me preaching, and then there are some who can hear Jesus talking to them. And you know who you are. I can't even tell. And if you are here this morning, and all you're hearing is Pastor Shaw, you might be lost. Nothing bad yet, but you got to get saved. Number three, if you are a sheep and you cannot hear the voice of the shepherd, guess who has wandered away? You have. Sheep do wander. Some of you are wandering right now. Some of you are bitter. Some of you are angry. Some of you are being stubborn. Some of you are going to do things your way, the way that you've always done, right? You've always done this way. So you're going to do it again. And you think you're hurting people around you. No, really, you are disappointing the Savior. Mary was so influenced by the Jewish people around her that she could not see that her Savior, her Shepherd, the Lord of the universe, was standing before her. And she went along with the crowd. Right now, you're going along with the crowd. Now, here's something very important. When it comes to doubting what God is doing, he takes it very seriously. If you are a lost sinner, his grace is available. But if you are a saved sinner and you begin to doubt God, he gets angry. You know, you can tell me, "Pastor Shaw, you're such a good man. You're such a good speaker. You do such a good job at the church." But there's one thing about him. You just can't trust him. I'll be pretty upset. Same thing with God. When you say you can't trust him, he takes it seriously. Here's another one. Once you belong to him, he will never let you go. Lazarus was dead and gone, and he brought him back. You know what he was proving? No one can snatch any of my sheep out of my hand. That grave can't. 4 days or 400 years, doesn't matter. If I want him, I'll bring him back right now. He will bring Lazarus back one day out of the grave in a glorified body, but this was just a demonstration that my sheep, they're gone, they're not. I can bring them anytime, just like this. Here's the last one. If you've never heard his voice, you don't belong to him. I said that already. And today you need to give your life to him.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is the great grave robber. He's the only one who has power over death. We, as his sheep, need to recognize his voice when he calls us. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.